This is Synchron Frame.
Synchronizing truth beyond the frame.
Since the genesis of human civilization, people have been held back from the truth. We're born, exist, and die within the authoritarian framework of this world.
Join us in synchronizing with the truth beyond that framework.
This is Greg.
And this is Tammy. And I am so excited because tonight is our pilot episode. Hey, I wanted to do a shout out to everybody for joining us tonight. We are really happy to have you. Right, Greg?
That's absolutely correct. Thank you very much.
And so, like I said, tonight's our pilot episode. Greg, tell us what we're going to be talking about.
Thank you very much, Tammy. Again, as you just said, tonight is our first episode. We hope you like it. Welcome to it. And what we're going to do is provide you with some information, at least to get you thinking about these topics and to hopefully encourage you to go out there and to start to do some discovery on your own.
So we're going to be taking you beyond the textbooks, beyond the education you got in high school.
Absolutely. So basically what we're talking about here is the transformation of energy.
And so tonight's episode is called Energy Transformations, Dimensions, Portals, and Stargates.
Exactly. And what we're going to talk about is the transformation of energy and how that allows the four states of matter to exist. And in doing so, I believe, possibly, could be the basis for portals, dimensions, and stargates.
I love that because I love the supernatural topic. And this at least lends some scientific support to that topic. So let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
So, Greg, we were talking about the different states of matter, and you mentioned four, and I know those are solids, liquids, gases, plasma. I'm almost sure there's more than that.
Well, yeah, that's technically true. There are theories that state that there are more than four states of matter, but for this episode, we're focusing on these four states only.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some links in our comment section below so that everyone can do some of their own research on all the other theories about all the other states of matter there could be.
Perfect. And I think that you guys are going to enjoy that, be able to go in and look at it, do some research on your own, see what we're looking at, and really be able to get on that self-discovery.
Okay, so I know you're basing some of your information on a quote from Einstein.
Yeah. Again, you know, people have said, you know, Einstein was true, right about some things, but not everything. Nobody's ever right about anything or everything. But what we've got is what Einstein says is concerning matter, quote, concerning matter, we have been all wrong. What we call matter is energy, whose vibration has been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter, end quote.
What? So, let me get this straight. So, Einstein's saying that energy can go to such a low level that really there is no matter? Or how does that all work? Could you give us like a visual?
Absolutely. And what that means is energy, when it is entering the third dimension, it is moving at least the speed of light. And when it hits the third dimension, it begins to slow down. And what you're doing is you're starting to increase the vibrational frequency of that energy. And as it increases more and more, what you end up doing is slowing it down, and it begins to slowly compress until the atoms and everything are so close together that you begin to get matter. But as Einstein's saying is, that's just our perception.
What? Is that the Matrix?
Could be. And so what we're talking about then is that, you know, energy outside of this dimension, I believe, is beyond measurement. And meaning that it is, if it is beyond measurement and it is outside of this dimension, that it's then omnipresent.
Meaning?
That it's not measured or constrained by linear time. It's everywhere at once.
Okay, and so then when it hits this dimension, the membrane of this dimension, it goes through a process, becomes matter, and in doing so, there could be like these fluctuations, and these fluctuations could open up portals?
I believe so. So let us imagine for a couple of minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Let us imagine then that energy is coming into this dimension, and as it comes in, you have the vibrational frequency, the harmonics of it beginning to change, and you're beginning to have atoms starting to compress together, electrons connecting to each other, eventually. Actually, I'm talking about two types of portals. There's the intra-universal portal, which is more primarily utilitarian, and then there's the inter-universal portal.
Okay, so an intra portal, I kind of get. That would be between dimensions in our universe.
Wormholes.
Yeah, that type of thing going on. But I don't really get inter, so could you give me an example of that?
Yeah, exactly what I'm talking about. There is the womb.
What?
The womb. The womb is the portal for souls and energy to enter this universe.
Okay, so that's interesting because I read an article that was done by a researcher on this topic. Her name is Eden Clark. I put the link below in our comment section so you can check it out for yourself. But Wow. She has a couple different concepts going on here with that. She states that actually women are vessels of creational energy, and that the womb is a vortex for souls to be assigned to human beings. That the womb is a portal vortex. And that's how the soul is assigned to the infant. And so...
Well, I'd like to take that one step further because it still has a magical, mystical component about it, but I don't think it's really that magical and that mystical. I think there's actually a process that is in the DNA itself. It's actually part of the programming. So when you have the sperm and the egg that come together, you have two sets of DNA coming together. And I believe at the fusion of those two, that creates the biochemical process or catalyst, if you would, in order to bring a soul through.
Well, now, she does debate that a little bit because she says that, that the timing on that could be either at conception or that happens actually 4 or 5 months down the road. And then her last option is that midwives actually claim that it happens after the child is born. So.
Well, I don't know if that happens at a single point or not. I think, imagine that the entire gestation period, and this is why it could be different for different animals and humans, is that it has to take that entire 9-month gestation period for the bio software to be written correctly enough in order for the conditions to be there for the soul to come through.
So let's recap what we're saying. So what we're saying is that there are two different types of portals, inter
Correct.
And intra. And your example of the intra was the woman's womb. And And Eden Clark says that she definitely thinks that the womb is a portal for souls to enter the human body.
Correct.
And that there are different timings that could happen at, and you say it's when DNA comes together, right?
Correct.
But then she says it also could be at 4 or 5 months or after the child is born.
And I think that it could be any or all of those. In other words, I don't think that it's just instantaneous. Mm-hmm. I think that that bio software has to develop to the point to where it's conducive for that soul to be welcomed through or to be drawn through or for that portal to be complete. There has to be a biological component in order for that to happen.
I really like what you're saying on that. I like how you are going a bit further with that because... they say that there is a lot of junk DNA, and
right.
I think we don't even understand it. And I think that that part of the DNA may be what exactly you're talking about.
And I think that's right on point.
All right. So on that note, what I'd like to do is start talking a little bit about how the portals, the souls, all kind of lend to the supernatural and maybe even ghosts.
Excellent. Let's go there. So let's talk about ghosts.
Let's talk about ghosts. First, what the heck is a ghost?
Well, there are a lot of different theories about that, and people come up with crazy ideas, but I believe it is simply our soul that gets trapped in this dimension.
Now, Einstein has a law about energy. It's called the Law of Conservation of Energy, which states energy is not created or destroyed, it's only transformed. So let's think about that for a second. If the soul comes through a portal, the womb, the soul is energy, comes into this dimension, we live, we die. What happens to the energy?
I think it tries to leave. It's pre-programmed in our DNA for an exit strategy, just like there is for an entrance strategy. I believe that our souls is a temporary, if you will, exception to that law, meaning that the soul as energy can enter into this dimension, but it's only here for the lifespan of that human being, and then it exits, it leaves.
It's supposed to leave.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that our bio software is pre-programmed for an exit, whether it's a heart attack, cancer, whatever it may be, for that soul to be released. There's that natural programming in there, and there could be a disruption to that, though.
Like a tragedy?
Exactly like a tragedy. You have 200 people on an airplane, the airplane crashes, and that natural exit is disrupted.
Well, if the exit is disrupted, that means the energy was in the middle, somewhere in the middle, of transforming back to getting out of here. And that may be why ghosts look the way they do.
That's exactly what I would argue and where I would stand in what I believe. Because what happens is that vibrational frequency, the harmonics, is not able to speed up enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, there's a natural programming, and when it doesn't speed up enough, it can't get back through the portal.
It's like bouncing against the membrane.
It is, exactly, bouncing against the membrane, unable to leave.
Well, there is a lot of support in what you're saying. There are some excellent paranormal researchers, such as the Ghost Adventure Guys, Dana and Greg Newkirk from Planet Weird, the Hellier series. They use a lot of different tools that pick up electromagnetic fields, anomalies in those fields, and the result is visual and audio evidence. To know that there are voices coming into our dimension but kind of still in their own dimension at the same time. I really can't explain that, other than there must be some sort of anomaly in the transformation of the energy, like a fluctuation that allows that to happen. I don't know.
Something, for some reason, they can't get back through the portal.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But anyway, so let's talk about how ghosts seem to kind of congregate in certain areas. For example,
what do you mean?
There seems to be like hot spots for ghosts.
Hot spots?
Yeah. Now I know there's been recordings out in the open outdoors, but it seems like there are a lot more recordings inside structures.
So is that why when they make movies and stuff, they're making movies and stuff inside of buildings and ships, mines, eerie places?
Well, yeah, and so don't you think that maybe you were talking about how the electromagnetic waves kind of compress? Maybe they do that inside of walled areas.
Maybe that what it has to do, this potentially, mm-hmm. could be that it's affecting the harmonics. Maybe those enclosed areas help to concentrate the harmonics or something within that area. I don't know.
It just seems strange that there seems to be a lot more recordings and incidences of ghost anomalies inside structures rather than outside. I don't know, but I guess where I'm going with that is, there seems to be some sort of specific attraction in certain areas of the planet where this electromagnetic energy comes together.
Yeah, that's what they call ley lines. Ley lines are thought to connect important and sacred sites throughout the world with electromagnetic energy. And so many people believe that there's a grid that encircles the Earth, connecting all these important and sacred sites such as Stonehenge, the Egyptian pyramids, the Great Wall of China, stuff in South America, all over the globe.
And isn't the 33rd parallel on one of those ley lines?
The 33rd parallel is, and when you look at that in the areas that it connects areas in southwestern United States with Egypt and many other areas around the world as you go around on the 33rd parallel.
I think someone actually coined the term hyperdimensional gateways.
Hyperdimensional gateways. What does that mean?
It seems like that's where the energy comes together, and that is where you can find a gateway or a portal.
Well, that would make a lot of sense in terms of what we mentioned earlier about utilitarian portals and the ability to move inside of this universe or interdimensionally. And those are areas where the Earth has a special magnetic resonance.
Frequencies seem to be found a lot where there are large quartz deposits around the world.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so to even expand on that, there's a gentleman by the name of David Politis. He has wrote a series of books called Missing 411, and each book focuses on a different area of the planet. But each of these areas have large deposits of quartz, and quartz is a known conductor of frequency, correct?
It is, absolutely. So you think that where these large quartz deposits are, therein lies the physical reason or the physical state for a portal to exist?
Well, David Politis, in his books, talks about missing people in and around these areas of large quartz deposits. So what if these people are missing because these portals open up or are just there? Maybe they waver over time, but people actually kind of fall into them.
Or are possibly taken into them?
Yes.
What do you mean by that? Can you expand on that? Give us a little scenario.
Maybe there are interdimensional entities that are attracted to humans that have a certain genetic structure.
Yeah. Well, you know, that would make sense, and it would actually lend a lot of credibility to your statement earlier about certain locations and research that we have done with regards to the ley lines. So, for example, you can have, the term is piezoelectric, mm-hmm. that where there are certain electrical charges and concentrations, and those can be in areas with quartz, certain other minerals, also present in human bone, human DNA, human proteins. So what we could end up doing is certain individuals get in those areas where you have the high concentration of quartz, which could be a portal, and maybe they attract those entities that come through that portal and snatch them, kind of like a UFO abduction.
I have something kind of crazy to add to that.
Okay.
So you said that these entities come through and snatch people.
Possibly, yeah.
What if they are snatching people because we are the food lot of the universe?
The food lot, that's scary, actually.
Well, millions of people every year go missing. Out of those millions of people, 90% have some sort of reasoning for that. 10% are missing because of extraordinary circumstances that nobody really can figure out why they're missing, how they went missing.
So you're telling me that 100,000 people or so a year,
at least,
go missing where nobody can find any trace of them, nothing, they're just vanished. And it could be that these entities are coming through these portals and snatching them for food. That is very...
How crazy is that when... Let's put it in perspective here on Earth. Cows don't know that we're going to eat them. We keep them on ranches, in food lots. And they don't really know that they're going to be slaughtered until the very end. They don't know that they're food for humans. Well, maybe humans are food for these other entities.
Wow. That is way past scary.
It's an option.
It is an option. So then these portals are providing gateways or portals for these entities to come through, snatch certain people with certain genetic makeups that they find particularly desirable.
Tasty.
So then that means you and I are not on the menu because we haven't been snatched up yet.
Well, we haven't been near a portal.
That's true.
But you actually could have the DNA of an Angus or something.
I think I'm a little more stringy than that. Okay, so here's a twist on what you were just saying.
Okay.
So instead of, what if they're not coming through to snatch us because we're tasty like a hamburger? What if it is that they're snatching us because of the concentration of energy of our soul?
So soul reapers.
soul reapers, right? I mean, they're coming through these portals. They snatch the bodies of the people because they're the capsule that holds the soul. But what they're doing is extracting the soul, kind of like a spider does when a wasp or something, when it bites it, or some fly just sticks to something in and sucks it out.
Well, I think the Bible does say something about that, doesn't it? Doesn't it talk about how the like bad angels are reaping the souls of people?
Harvesting, reaping. Yeah, that's very interesting. So these could be entities that are evil. I guess they would be evil by definition if they were taking people.
But why aren't they taking people at random? It seems like they are concentrating on certain areas. Well, those areas do have the quartz deposits, so there you have that. But maybe the DNA has a certain signal for a certain soul.
That could be very true. That would be extremely interesting, because then what you would have to do is you could go through and identify by people's DNA signatures potential victims.
Maybe the government already is.
Wow, I don't know about that, but folks, you guys might want to consider that one and to make sure you guard yourself and don't hang out with a bunch of crystals.
Well, don't do an ancestry.com DNA kit. Okay, so I want to kind of go backwards a little bit and talk about the missing 411 just a little bit more.
Okay.
Now, there is a podcast group by the name of The Wildly Unexplained.
I've watched them.
And they put on their Twitter feed an interesting map overlay of cave systems in the United States that coincide with the large groups of people, the clusters of missing people that David Politis of Missing 411 talks about. When they overlay the two maps, they match up almost exactly.
Now that is very interesting.
And a lot of those cave systems do contain quartz. Here's another one, though. I also had a map of large Native American groups of the United States, and I overlaid that map, and it also sort of matched the other two.
Well, in the Native Americans, they have a lot of tales where they talk about portals. They talk about beings coming through. And you look at, you were actually showing me all those pictures all over Utah where they have these giant figures that look like, I mean, they look pretty scary compared to the little small people that are drawn there. So give us a little bit of information about that. What are you seeing there as far as the Native American drawings and what they talk about the portals? What have you learned on those?
Well, some of the groups call them portals, but most of them call them some sort of Stargate or Star People. But what if the Star People are just portal people?
So they're just coming, they would come from the portal, because if it's not somebody that they knew or some group that was here that they could actually see, it would only make sense that logically they think that they would be coming from somewhere out in space, out in the heavens, somewhere, and they come through
what
portals.
What is space? Maybe it's just dimensions. I mean, maybe that's an interchangeable term.
That really keys into what Einstein said, that everything that is just a matter of what we're perceiving, right?
That's true. Anyway, so I think we're good with this subject.
I think that is very interesting. And I think that what this does is kind of give us a nice segue into talking about these ancient cultures, whether they're Native American, they're Mesoamerican, whether they're Egyptian, they're Sumerian, they're Asian, they're African, whatever they are, there are groups all over this rock that talk about these types of things.
Yes, and at different points in time. So it's really interesting that you have all these different points of time, all these different groups of people talking about the same things.
So you were showing me, which really sparked my interest, that there were people, ancient cultures across the globe, that believe that not only portals not only existed, but were being used by beings from outside this world. And we hit on that just a little bit earlier, but can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I can talk about that, but before I do, I want to touch upon some information that I found about NASA. And NASA has a government group that is actually studying portals.
What?
Yeah, they have validated that portals do exist, and they started a group by the name of the Magnetospheric Multiscale Mission. And what they do...
It's a mouthful.
I know, right? And so what they do is they send a probe into the outer atmosphere, and they look for something called X points, which are electron diffusion regions.
Okay.
Do you even know what that is?
No, I don't.
Electron diffusion regions.
So electrons are becoming more diffuse.
I guess, yeah. Anyways, and so they send the
probe
to that area. It studies the area, and what it has found, or the data that has been collected and the scientists have found, is that the sun's magnetosphere and the Earth's magnetosphere interact. There is a huge explosion of energy, and portals are opened.
So these portals are being opened because of the vibrational frequency change, because of the interaction or the confluence of the two magnetospheres.
Yes. And they have found that the portals can last long periods of time or short periods of time. But they are erratic and they pop up all over the place.
So the question would be, what do you think about those portals being able to be brought down to the Earth's surface, either through natural, like quartz formations, or through structures that are made like many of the ancient cultures have built?
So, and I was going to go into the ancient cultures being able to harness this energy through natural resources on Earth.
So, for example, crystals and stuff, because you look at a lot of these structures and everything, they have, or they use, very crystalline-based type of rocks and stuff. For example, like Abu Ghraib in Egypt, mm-hmm. right, is looked at and considered one of the oldest stargates or portals on Earth, and it's made out of what they call alabaster or Egyptian crystal. And the Egyptians had a very similar belief to the Native Americans, specifically the Cherokees.
And what was that?
Well, the Cherokees believed that what they would term as the they called them thought beings, and that these thought beings traveled on sound waves. Okay, and these sound waves could come through these portals. So these beings were traveling on those waves that came through the portals, similar to what the Egyptians were talking about, and that these travelers came from the Pleiades.
Well, the Hopi Native American group and the Zunis, they believed in star people, and they would come through stargates as well. They helped them to get through cataclysmic events, and...
Wow, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And most of those Native American groups lived in the Four Corners area by Sedona, which is another well-known vortex, stargate, portal area.
Well, and interestingly, those are right along that 33rd parallel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going around the Earth. And because another one is the ancient Sumerian stargate on the Euphrates River, right? There's a famous Sumerian seal where they talk about this god appearing from a portal into ours. And he appears to be on this staircase that looks like the double helical, the DNA. Annie appears to be pushing a button on the relief that shows some sort of an activation switch. So that's the Sumerians. We got the Egyptians, the Native Americans, the Sumerians. I know that there are even places where in South America.
South America is really big with the portal and Stargate.
Was there one called Gate of the Sun?
Yep, in Tiwanaku. I believe that's how you say it, Bolivia.
Yeah. And because we've seen that on various shows and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And how old is that thing? I forget how old they said it was. It was like
16,000 years old.
Yeah, something along those lines, which is when you take and think about modern history and how we are taught history in the school books, this completely blows everything away.
It really does. I just think that with so many ancient cultures building so many structures and talking about the same thing, there has to be some common thread and some truth to it. Also, it does match the large quartz deposits around the planet.
Well, it does. And think about this. Like, it really brings up, makes me think about Abydos in Egypt. It's one of the oldest cities in ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And perhaps one of the most important sites in all of Egyptology, because one of the things that they have is in the Temple of Seti the First appears that hieroglyphics are actually showing flying machines, helicopters, planes, things like that. So tell me, how do people 2,000-4,000 years ago know about flying machines?
Well, Native Americans have been drawing, you know, pictographs and petroglyphs around the North America continent, right?
In the Southwest, right?
Well, just all over the place. It's not only in the Southwest.
So one of two things must be present, I guess, is would be the right to say it, would be either A, all of these people around the world are having similar hallucinations about something that might be developed 3,000 years in the future, or they have all seen very similar occurrences.
Just like people today.
Just like people today. Like with UFOs, things of that nature, ghosts, anything that might possibly be able to pass through those portals.
Yeah, and the actual shapes of these things seem to all kind of be the same throughout all of the stories. Like the UFO shape.
Exactly. And so
the star people look.
Interesting. Yeah, because they have some very similar reliefs in Native American pictographs that they do in pictographs over in the Eurasian continent stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think is the ultimate understanding? I mean, consider again, what's the one we were looking at the other day? Göbekli Tepe, right? Mm-hmm. Over in Turkey.
Sure.
They uncovered that. Look at the reliefs that are on those stones. These things have been buried for tens of thousands of years.
Right. I
know. Right?
It's kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy.
The craziest part for me, though, is that NASA is actually studying it, so we know they are true.
Well, that lends a lot of credibility to the whole issue, right? It's just like they've recently set aside, or Harry Reid had pushed through a $50 million bill through the Senate to start studying UFOs. They don't just study them because somebody's like, hey, I think we're going to study UFOs.
Well, $50 million is probably a drop in the bucket.
It probably is.
It's probably a lot more than that. But here's something to think about. If NASA has acknowledged that these portals exist, who's to say that they aren't using them?
Well, that's actually a great question, because we typically only know a fraction of what the government is actually doing.
Well, and here's another crazy thought. Have you ever seen the pictures of the out-of-place people?
No, what are those?
Well, so pictures that have surfaced from decades ago will have like this anomalous person holding a cell phone walking down the street.
What?
Yeah. Like, the picture will be from, like, 1900.
Right.
But somehow a person that's has a cell phone is in the picture. Or wearing clothes from our era in a picture that's from 1930s.
So you're saying that Alexander Graham Bell was the first Verizon customer?
I'm just saying, what if these portals have something to do with time travel as well?
Well, they certainly would, because if you remember what we were talking about at the beginning of this episode, if you can go through a portal, then that portal would, in effect, push you through time travel. It would be able to compress it in the fact that it's omnipresent.
Yeah.
Everywhere at once.
Yeah.
Right? So what do you think about that?
I think that we're going down crazy road and need to be roped in.
I think that we probably are. And I think what we're going to do is go chip the release off this rocks at Göbekli Tepe.
Oh, that's good. Okay, now...
So, I think that's going to wrap up our first podcast. And to recount what we've done is we started off talking about energy flow when it enters this dimension, how it begins to create matter. We've touched on Einstein. We've touched on a lot of physics. We've touched on cultures. We've touched on portals, stargates.
Wombs.
So, tell me a little bit, what'd you gather from this podcast today?
Well, there's a lot of different anomalous subject matter that all fits under Einstein's law of conservation of energy.
Okay.
And also you quoted Einstein as well.
Yes.
What was that quote again?
That was that all the matter in essence that we see is just merely a perception. And that it's just energy slowed down as to be even able to be picked up by our senses.
And it is matter as we perceive it.
It is matter as we perceive it, kind of like the Matrix.
Yeah, so everything around us is, could be, just this imaginary thing.
It could be. It's interesting that many, many people can have similar perceptions.
Well, and so, if what Einstein is saying is true, why can we not accept that ghosts can be real? That UFOs can be real? That another species, entities from other dimensions and portals could be living? It's not really that far-fetched.
No, it's not. In fact, if you think about it, there could be... This could even go to include things like Bigfoot, UFOs.
Yes, because Bigfoot is, or has been said to be, an interdimensional entity.
Correct. And, you know, so we don't know what is really happening. We can only guess. But the more and more that we discover about portals, energy, vibrations, harmonics, all of this stuff, I think what it does is it begins to give us a more collective knowledge about the potential of the world that we live in, instead of us just kind of guessing and saying that tree is a tree and it's real.
Right. You know, I just want to say thank you to all the people out there that are listening, because if you're listening, you are open to realization of some of these anomalies. And I'm glad that we are all in the same group.
Absolutely, and looking at what our mission is, and that's to really push us beyond the framework of traditional education to consider things that are outside the bounds that most people, they just simply refuse to talk about and acknowledge, even though it's there, it's present, it's part of our lives, it's part of our history. And so, you know, looking at that, I mean, we're pushing that. We're thankful that you're along with us.
I also want to thank all the people that are out there investigating.
Yes.
Active investigators, the paranormal investigators, the people who are researching ancient cultures, even the ancient aliens group.
Absolutely, 411. Mm-hmm. And which kind of kicks us into our next episode that we're going to be putting up here for you guys. And Tammy's going to tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, so our next episode, we are going to be talking about Uparts. Ooh. And if you don't know what an Upart is, do you know?
I don't, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it is an out-of-place artifact.
Okay.
And so we're going to be investigating some of those artifacts to find out how are these more advanced electronic or tools of the future, how are they being embedded in rock layers that are millions of years old?
Oh, so you're not talking about just like an artifact at a museum that an Egyptian gets put in a Sumerian one. You're talking about actually in the geological layers of the earth?
Yes.
And so there's stuff that shouldn't be there, that is there,
right,
that traditional archaeology and geologists, they tend to gloss over and ignore.
They not only ignore, they cover up, because if they acknowledge them, what happens then?
It changes their paradigm.
That's right. So we're going to be talking about that, and we will be talking about cataclysmic events.
Nice.
As well as we're going to touch upon how old humans really are.
Nice.
And have we actually been advanced before and just met up with our demise?
So have there been advanced civilizations prior to ours that possibly got wiped out by calamities and they were able to pass through just enough information to help us get restarted?
Yeah, maybe not even a calamity. Maybe just they imploded.
Just imploded and...
Just like all great civilizations do.
So it could have been on a global scale, though.
Mm-hmm. Just like scientists say we are doing right now.
All right. Well, folks, you guys heard it here on Synchron Frame. Send us an email at synchronframe@gmail.com. Check out our links. Let us know what you think.
We're on Twitter.
And we look forward to having you back and being able to have some more interesting discussions.
Yep. See you or hear you next week.
Hear you next week.
Bye for now.
And here's to synchronizing with you
outside of the frame.